This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. Tonight we have no Jeff on the show, so we're taking the opportunity to clean out the refrigerator and try beers that he doesn't have. And we have seven different beers to try, including three double IPAs to start with. And joining me tonight are seven people to help drink those seven beers. Andy Hamilton, Britton Miner, Catherine Gardella, Dane Carinko, Steve Williamson, Joel Miner. And we've got a full complement of crew here tonight.
Hey, everybody.
So before we get to the first beer, anyone have any beers this week that they wanted to mention that were good?
Well, I happened to message Dallas today at middle of the day, and I was like, man, I'm having a great beer.
But... So you're saying this wasn't rehearsed at all beforehand?
No.
Wait, so were you working?
It was at lunch break.
Air quotes. Working.
And I messaged Dallas, and I was like, dude, I'm having a great beer. And I was like, it's City of the Sun. He's like, I had that yesterday. And we had the same beer by Modern Times. It's from San Diego. It was a pale ale, and it poured with very little head, but I was shocked because, I'm sorry, it was an IPA, but it looked like a pale ale, and it came in at 7.6%, and I was just really impressed by it. It was good, crisp. It was sweeter than I normally see in like a double IPA, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a real well-balanced beer.
Yeah, that's one of a couple different Modern Times beers that I've had recently that are good, and they're kind of an expanding brewery. They're opening up a tasting room in Sacramento. I know that it just opened a second facility in Idaho, of all places. So they are, expanding a lot, and we'll be seeing a lot more Modern Times beer coming up in the future. Anyone else have any beers to mention?
No. Forgot about this segment.
Oh. we forgot to take notes during the week. We didn't do our homework assignment.
So last night they had the debut of Sierra Nevada Ultra Vez at the bar at OTP here in Elk Grove. And Ultra Vez is a very light, refreshing beer, only 4.5%. It has just a little bit of that sour goza tartness in the aftertaste. And it's a pretty drinkable beer. It's very universally accessible beer.
Yeah, I had that today, and the bartender said, hey, this has a little bit of sour in it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's good. He goes, well, I just want to make sure you know, because earlier today when we were pouring it, people said, this beer is bad. It's sour. Do you guys clean your lines? Mm-hmm. And so she's like, I just want to make sure you like this type of beer because it's not what we normally pour here.
Right. So sours are just exploding right now. Every place has new sours coming out all the time. It's probably the most popular trend in beer at this moment. And this is hardly even sour. It's like just a little touch of sour. Really, it's just a nice, light, drinkable beer with just a little touch of tartness in the aftertaste. And a couple weeks ago at the Super Bowl, our friend Kendra came over, and she's a very petite girl, and she brought with her a beer, and it was a Leinenkugel's Blackberry Shandy beer. And she said, this is my beer, right? And put it in the fridge. She's like, I'm not going to drink it now. I'm going to eat first because I don't want to get too drunk. And so she drank the beer, and there was only halftime at that point. So she needed another one. And I went into the fridge and said, okay, I got a Sierra Nevada Ultra Vez and gave that to her. And she liked it. It fit right in with that very light, fruity type of beer that anyone can drink. So
it fits in that classification of what I call approachable beers, where somebody that says, oh, I don't really like beer, you can give them this and they might actually like it because it doesn't remind them of beer.
Yes.
And people at the bar ordering a Sierra Nevada beer, they're probably thinking Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Yes. That's what everybody knows. And you get that and they're like, this isn't Sierra Nevada.
Right.
I'm sure it's a little experimental for them.
It's going to be
not their typical style.
It's an important beer for Sierra Nevada because it's going to be a beer that anyone can drink. A lot of people are like, oh, Sierra Nevada, grass clippings, you know. They don't,
agreed.
All their beers are a little too bitter for everybody. So this is their entry into a more universally palatable beer. So
let's cheers our first beer to Sierra Nevada Diversifying then.
Yeah. So speaking of the first beer, we have the Limbo IPA. Now, this is a double IPA, and this is one of the beers that Joel and Britton brought back from their trip to Ohio a month ago.
Yeah, maybe
6 weeks ago.
Yeah, maybe a little bit longer. It was during the playoffs,
mid-December.
Right before the playoffs. Yeah.
Mid-December.
Okay, so Long Trail Brewing Company is in Corners, Vermont. I can't say as I've had too many Vermont beers before, so this is going to be...
Did you say Coroners?
Corners.
Corners. Is that where they all live?
No.
I heard coroners myself. I was going to comment on that.
Like not a, it's a corner, like a corner of a room.
Like, what do you think the main occupation in Coroner, Vermont is?
Embalming.
So yeah, there's a specialty store we've talked about before, Jungle Jim's, where you can just get a ton of different types of beer. So we stocked up on East Coast beers to bring them back so we could enjoy them on the show.
Correction, Bridgewater Corners, Vermont.
Mm.
I forgot a word in their city name.
Well, to the families that live in Bridgewater Corners, Vermont, we apologize. I like the way it poured. It's just a little cloudy, nice kind of golden color. It's got that good fruity hop smell.
That you love so much?
IPAs smell good, except for when they smell overly soapy. It has a very nice smell.
So we have Dane on this show. Dane is a coworker of mine on the day job. And he focuses more on, you know, the lighter fare of beers. I think probably that Otra Vez is something that would be up his, you know.
Thanks, Dallas.
But I think it would be an interesting thing to have him on this show. We have three double IPAs to try. I doubt if he's ever had a double IPA before.
I have not.
So generally, they're a little bit heftier beer, higher alcohol, very bitter. So it's going to be interesting to hear somebody that is not familiar with the style. And so we often talk about that. Okay, let's get someone off the street and give them this beer and see what they think of it.
Dane, we just picked him right off the street.
Yeah. So I get a very fruity, floral hop aroma, kind of a melon type. Just the smell of that makes me think I'm going to like this beer. I kind of like beers with this smell.
This smells like a mimosa to me. I haven't tasted it, but it smells like a mimosa.
Yeah, I can smell
that. There's some orange in it. Yeah, orange and champagne.
Yeah, Joel nailed that.
Yeah, I think you got it.
Wow.
All right, Dane. Have you tasted it yet?
Yeah, I've tasted it.
So what's your... what's your thought?
Very strong.
Strong?
Yeah.
Bitter?
Yes. Yeah, definitely bitter. Like Dallas said, I've never even had an IPA, so...
It's funny because you think, like, back to the first time you had an IPA and how bitter it was, and now you can never reenact that same experience, but we're watching it right now.
It's true.
It is bitter. Like, it's not one of those... easy drinker double IPAs.
It smells a lot better than it tastes.
I agree. I was actually just thinking that I think if it tasted more like it smelled, I would like it a lot more. It is. I think it's a little bit too bitter for me.
This is you in 10 months.
Mm-hmm. I can drink it.
Yes.
I don't like it that much.
I mean, not physically.
You're going to need a lot of in and out in the meantime.
I can see that because it smells very fruity. The taste is more bitter, but I think the underneath that bitterness, it actually has a lot of the flavors of the smell.
I agree with Dallas. I think that there's floral, like, and like Joel said, there's an orangey, citrusy, floral quality there. And I'm picking up a little bit of malt too.
I couldn't really pick out any individual flavors. I got a pretty overwhelming bitterness, and I couldn't really identify any fruit flavors.
That alarms me because I don't think it's overly bitter, and I usually hate bitter beers, which makes me think I'm turning,
which alarms me.
To the IPA side.
All right. Well, I think that's a pretty interesting one. Off to a good start here. All right, let's get into the beer news of the day. All right, a couple of stories that came out today I wanted to mention. There's one that from coolmaterial.com, and they had a list of the upcoming beers that are coming out that from some of the bigger breweries that you should keep an eye out for. These are going to be ones that are going to be kind of the more popular ones from the year. So we just had New Year's.
Beers, right? Not breweries.
Beers.
Okay.
At the end of the year, 2015, we kind of looked back at a lot of the big beers of this last year, and now they're kind of looking forward to 2016 and kind of the beers that are going to be coming out. So here's what to look for.
So they're anticipating what's going to be hot.
Correct. Stone Americano Stout. I'm a fan of Americano, the coffee espresso, so I think that'll be a good one. So
they didn't want to call it a coffee stout. They had to get fancy.
Yeah, the Creature Comforts Cosmic Debris. This is a big double IPA, kind of like the one we just had.
Did they send their yeast out in the cosmos and bring it back and brew some beer?
Doesn't say that here, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were some people, copycats out there.
Yeah.
Ballast Point Pineapple Sculpin.
Mm.
So of all the fruity Sculpins, I had this pineapple one recently, and I have to say it is the best of the bunch.
If we can go back to the first segment of the show on the interesting beers we had last week, I had that beer last week, and it's the best version of Sculpin, hands down. I really enjoyed it a lot.
The good part about it is the pineapple is very reserved.
Yep.
So a lot of these fruity beers that they come out with, the fruit is so over the top, especially that watermelon one where it's just like Jolly Rancher. Man, that just rubbed me the wrong way, man. Terrible. But the pineapple one, good. Sam Adams Nitro Coffee Stout. Haven't seen that one yet. It's in a can.
That one,
Sam
would,
Adams.
That one would interest me.
So Sam Adams has this new line of beers that's all nitro. Nitro IPA, Nitro Stout.
All in a can?
I think they're all in a can. Yeah, because they can put the little...
the Guinness system there?
Nitro packets in there.
Yeah. Avery Vanilla Bean Stout.
I would try that one.
10.8%. It's going to be...
I could have four of those.
New Belgium La Folie.
Yep.
2016.
Andy, right up your alley?
I saw it in the store the other day.
I'm sure you bought it.
I did not.
We'll try that one soon. Bell's Oatsmobile Ale.
No.
Haven't seen that one yet. 4.3%.
Why would you name your beer after the worst car company in the world that ever existed?
Well, they're gone now.
Nobody ever wanted an Oatsmobile.
There might be some 90-year-olds drinking craft beer listening to this show, so
that's
be careful.
True. That's true. Sorry, guys.
And then Carton Cafe Ichiro.
Ichiro?
Carton, I'm not familiar with that brewery, so that's another one to look out for.
All right, I'm excited.
Sounds like a nice list of a lot of different options on there.
Yeah, they had a pretty wide range of styles. So
we should just do a show of those beers.
It's a good thought.
Look at me just throwing out ideas.
I like that.
Spitting gold.
Genius.
Is this passage is Malibu?
It's a namaste.
So as of today, in Oregon, for the first time, you can go to Hop in the Spa, the first beer spa. So So they start you out in the lounge area and they give you beer to drink. And then you soak your body in a brew of hops, which is good for the skin. Malt, which is a great exfoliator and with vitamin C. And water. Does that sound familiar, those ingredients?
The essence of beauty.
It sounds sticky.
Basically, they're going to just cook you like you're brewing beer. And it's supposed to be good for you. So
sounds pretty neat.
So it's in Sisters, Oregon, according to this agenda here.
Yes.
That's like kind of in the middle of nowhere.
It would kind of have to be, wouldn't it?
To get some freaks to go do some beer spot.
Yeah.
How many times have you done it, Dallas?
It just came out.
He actually booked his tickets yesterday.
I think I know what Joel's getting me for our fifth anniversary.
Now, does it mention anything about like a doggy spa? Because if I can't take my dog with me, I'm not interested.
Yeah, dogs. The hops are bad for dogs. They're poisonous. So, no.
Well, they're not going to drink it. They're just going to soak in it.
Probably not.
Anytime I take a bath, I have to pee. So I'm not sure if I can do that.
Anything that could clean those dogs, I'll take it. All right, let's get into the next beer of the day. This is Dogfish Head 75-Minute IPA.
Man, I am excited about this.
Joel brought this one back all the way from Cincinnati, although we can buy it here.
Well, I didn't know that. I haven't seen it here.
You have but, to respect the journey.
But see, this one, it didn't have to travel as far, you know, through the distribution process. So you got it fresher originally and then brought it back yourself. So this could be better than what we get here.
Did you beat the truck that was carrying the beer to Sacramento?
Probably not. It's got a lot of head on it.
It actually, its pour is pretty similar to the previous beer in terms of the look and the amount of head.
Yeah, cloudiness.
This is 7.5%. So the first one was 7.6%, but all three of these are right in the 7.5% range.
And this one is unique because what does the bottle say? It has maple syrup added to it. Is that right?
Yes. Bottle conditioned IPA with maple syrup. This beer is nostalgic for me. It brings me back to the days of our test podcast and our very first test show.
Was it the very first beer on the very first
It
session?
Was not.
What was?
I don't remember. But it probably wasn't this one.
Luckily, that was 2 years ago.
And I don't remember
it
at all.
I can't remember it at all. So this is brand new. So on the aroma, I'm not getting any maple syrup.
I get a little bit of it kind of deep down there, but I get a more citrus lemon kind of zest.
How deep?
Pretty deep. You got to get pretty far down in there. Get a little maple.
Get your nose all the way up in there.
Yep.
Oh, it's so good.
I like this better than the first one.
Which is weird because it smells a lot stronger than the first one. The smell is scarier to me.
No, well, the first one smelled very like melon.
Very
it smelled like mimosa.
Hoppy. Yeah. You can smell the hop. This one, you can't really smell the hop that much.
I don't get the maple syrup on the taste either.
There's a little like sugary quality there. I get it.
It's very subtle.
Yeah.
In general, this is a much more mellow beer than the first one. It's a little bit more malty, a little less hoppy.
So I like the taste of this a lot. For some reason, I feel like I'm longing for more carbonation from it, and I can't figure out why that is. It just tastes a little flat and syrupy to me. And that sounds bad. I actually really enjoy the taste of this beer a lot. I just wish it had a little bit better, crisp mouthfeel to it with carbonation.
When I think of the carbonation, I'm thinking of Dogfish Head 90-Minute IPA, which is the one I've had the most of. And it kind of has the same mouthfeel, same consistency as that. To me, maybe just a little less hoppy.
I am tending, as soon as Joel said that, I was like, yeah, that's what it's missing. Because it's not as bitter as the last beer. It's a little bit sweeter. But the finish seems to go watery on you. And I'm wondering if that's the lack of carbonation that Joel's talking about.
And I'm like nitpicking this beer. I want to make sure I'm doing this beer justice. It's a really good beer. It's got really good flavors. And Dane and Catherine both said they like this beer compared to the one before. And this is also a hoppy beer.
So, Dane, would you drink this beer? Would you choose to drink this beer?
No.
But compared.
Yeah, no. I agree. I just want to know, like, to what degree is it better than the others? And
right.
we're still below the whatever we were drinking earlier. I don't remember. Omegang
Wit.
Yeah.
They should do a study on how many hoppy beers college kids have to drink. Well, there's probably so much more available now, but if you get someone who's never had a craft hoppy beer, at what point do they start enjoying it?
I think it actually is directly correlated to their income.
Well, I'm on hoppy beer about number 300, and I still don't like them, so.
Yeah, yep.
I shouldn't say that. You've grown them.
You've grown an appreciation.
I have.
You've picked some on other shows.
Yeah.
So.
But you don't choose to drink them.
Generally not.
Yeah.
I think I'm swaying, though, too.
I would say you've chosen to tolerate them.
I think that I'm starting to enjoy them more all the time.
Oh, no.
The day that Steve comes down here, downstairs, and grabs a Lagunitas IPA out of the beer fridge is the day that he's converted.
It's going to be a while.
Going to be a while. Okay, so the next beer we have is from Hershey, Pennsylvania. This is Trogues Brewing Company, their Perpetual IPA. This is also a double IPA. Same percentage, 7.5%. Another beer Joel brought back from Ohio.
If the beer tastes good, I brought it back. If it's bad, Britain brought it back.
Probably the exact opposite of that, but okay.
We're lucky that Southwest let you check another bag for free.
Yeah, I read some of the rules about like pressurized bottles on planes, and I'm just like,
I mean, technically, if it explodes, isn't it unpressurized? So they can never say that you.
I just poured a beer inside my suitcase and put the empty bottle in there. And we took mittens with us to Cincinnati, which makes it very easy to bring a beer back in a suitcase with a mitten wrapped around it inside of a Ziploc bag.
In fact, the sweatshirt or little soft shell jacket that I'm wearing, I take with me everywhere I go, and this is what transports all the beer. That's actually true.
And that's why your sleeves are all stretched out.
Just all like fat cuffs. And
okay, so color-wise, this is a darker golden color, very low carbonation, very slight head. If you're looking at it, there's just little wisps of film on the top and not much else.
I think we got to kind of go back to the Claremont show where, you know, we're not pouring a lot of beer in these glasses.
True. So the head's going to be slimmer.
Yeah, it's not going to create as much head.
Mine's got a good one. And I think I was the first pour out of the bottle there.
Hey, this one is the clearest beer that we've had so far. It doesn't have a lot of cloudiness. It looks like it's golden wheat color.
Based on the smell, I get some of those, the more dry hopped double IPA, not fresh. And so just by that, I am thinking this is going to be Dane's least favorite beer.
I get like some
that we've done so far.
And not in a bad way, because like I usually dislike juniper, but like I get the aroma of juniper.
First thing I was going to say is that what stood out to me right away, I think juniper is a good way to describe it. I got like spearmint, like almost like a minty flavor, menthol kind of smell to it.
Yeah, right on, menthol.
I got a musty smell.
I was like Wayne's World, yeah.
Yeah, man, party on.
Yeah. Okay, all right, yeah, excellent.
I'm with Britton. It has a little of that wet towel type of thing.
Yeah.
So this tastes a lot like, what was the one? Psychopathy?
Yes.
And also a little bit like Truth as well, but more like Psychopathy than anything else that was from Cincinnati, which this beer is not from Cincinnati, but I wonder if they're using similar hops.
Yeah, similar region of the country. It's very possible. I know you read off the hops that we use in Psychopathy because we had the recipe for it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But it could be similar. This is kind of a piney hop aroma or taste.
Do we want to play the guess the hop game?
Cascade or Chinook, for sure.
Pick one.
Cascade.
Correct. Pick the other one.
There's only two?
You got them both. Both of those.
Yeah.
There's lots more. Nugget, Citra, Bravo, and Mount Hood.
Yeah.
Chinook and Cascade.
But like, so it's Chinook, Cascade, and Mount Hood are all those like Oregon, North Pacific Northwestern hops that are those kind of piney, cypressy flavors.
So are there certain hops that are more geared towards dry hopping? Or they choose the hops they like and they dry or wet hop?
I would say yes, but it's kind of like up to the brewer to really decide.
Usually you don't see Nugget dry hopped just because it's added purely for bitterness.
Right.
I kind of enjoy this beer. I think it has a nice flavor. It's not, the bitterness is kind of on the finish where it kind of gets in your, you know, makes your cheeks water a little bit. Not necessarily in a sour way, but it's kind of like that kind of dries your mouth out a little bit. But I think that the flavor is really good. It has a little bit of that menthol to me that I mentioned in the smell.
Yeah. So, Dane.
Yeah.
Dallas was so kind to invite you over for the podcast. And he said, you know, I know you don't like these beers, but we're just going to start out with three of them.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I would say this one's last. The smell and the taste
is not your thing.
Are ranking number three for me. Yeah, number two so far was the best.
All right, so in the first half of this program, I am hitting you with these pretty harsh double IPAs. The second half is going to be a lot more
cool shit.
Yeah, it's going to be stuff that's a lot more flavorful, drinkable. You'll like the second half a lot better.
So
I promise you that.
For all the amateurs listening, what distinguishes an IPA from a double IPA?
It's just it's basically the boil time and the amount of hops that have been added into
it. But like, you'll see it typically is based on the alcohol level because there is no actual definition. It's simply, it's more. Double is more than single. Triple is more than double.
Right.
So there's no, there doesn't have to be any one thing.
So there's the pale ale and that's about 5.5%, 6%.
5 to 6% is a pale. Then 6 to 7.5 is IPA. And then above that's double and so on and so on.
Right.
I see.
And then there's triple, you know, you can get into the bigger ones.
It's not regulated or anything like that though. So you can call it whatever you want.
I see.
Right. But a double IPA is basically more substantial than an IPA. And so that's what you're getting with all three of these. Although I think with all three of these, we had three very different beers for being the same style.
I agree.
So anyway, second half, we're going to venture out into some other styles and we won't be so IPA heavy.
I'm looking forward to the second half.
Well, then let's get to it. But first, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment. Chikao Chai Hazelnut Double Brown Ale. I've been looking forward to this one for a while, and we'll get to it when we come back here on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoy this podcast and the Beer of the Day website and you want to help us out, you can do so by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. All you do is go to beeroftheday.com. There's a big Amazon banner at the top of the site, or you can just direct your browser to amazon.beeroftheday.com. You do your regular Amazon shopping. It doesn't cost you a single penny more, and we get a little bit of commission on that, and you help us out in that way. For example, just this week, somebody went to Amazon through the Beer of the Day website, and they bought Green Mountain Coffee Newman's Special Blend Medium Roast K-Cups. They paid $19.57 for it. We made 78 cents. And that 78 cents we are going to put towards beer on a future Beer of the Day podcast. So whoever it was that needs coffee, we appreciate you shopping through the Beer of the Day website.
Sumatran Reserve.
If you don't need anything on Amazon and you still want to help us out, what you can do is tell a friend about us. This is the 38th episode. And so we're still a relatively new podcast and we're trying to spread the word. So if you have friends that like craft beer, show them how to download the podcast on their phone. Most people don't know how to get the podcast app. You can show them how to do that or just send them straight to beerofthedaypodcast.com and you can introduce them to the Beer of the Day. All right, let's get back to it we have our Strange Brew segment. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast, Strange Brew segment. This is where tonight we went into the fridge and found the strangest beer that we could find. And this is Chicao! Exclamation point.
Chicao!
Chai.
Or Kai.
Is that like Cobra Kai?
Kind of looks like soy sauce.
Hazelnut Double Brown Ale, 10.0%. This is from Triple Digit Brewing Company in Cincinnati, Ohio. Wait, this is the 1, 2, 3, 4th beer that Joel brought back with him from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And is now depressurized bottle.
It has a beautiful cascade in it when you pour it.
Yeah, when we saw this beer, we didn't know the brewery. We hadn't heard or seen of it, so we're interested to see what this is going to be like, but it's going to be a mystery.
That's what you want with a strange brew.
So it's kind of like a nutty brown color, but there's definitely light coming through, like a yellow jewel to it at the bottom.
The aroma is half amazing, half Robitussin.
So it definitely all smells amazing, like then. Chai.
It is a little medicinal, but it's like herbal. Yeah. Herbal is what it is.
Purple drink.
It really smells like chai.
Chai and like, would you say that chai is kind of like a fruit cake kind of smell?
Yeah, it reminds me of Fun Dip. If you just smell like the packet of Fun Dip.
The sugar?
Yes. The
Dane, your face is awesome.
Sorry.
Is that good, huh? It's Fun Dip.
Yeah. The weirdest Fun Dip I've ever tasted.
Hazelnut Double Brown. 10% alcohol. How many brown ales do you ever have that has 10% alcohol?
Double brown.
Double brown.
So they had the double IPA, double brown. So your standard brown is going to be 6.0%, 7%, and then the double means more.
It doesn't taste like it smells at all. I'm getting, it's really metallic-y. That's like the number one descriptor I have for it. It just tastes very like metallic.
I get like a raisin type of flavor, a little cinnamon. There's that chai taste is still there, the flavor.
Joel's either really connecting with a higher being or not liking this.
Your face looks like mine.
I just do not like this beer. I can't figure out why. I just like, it's like someone accidentally spilled their latte or inside their beer. I'm like, oh, shit, let's just call it Triple Digit, yo. It is not good.
It's like, you know, if you cook and you like reduce your sauces down and you get that kind of a thing going on, mm-hmm. It's like taking a Belgian quad. And doing that, so where it's just like super rich and that like datey, raisiny flavor and powdery, you're getting rid of all the water and it's just
prunes.
It's very pungent,
sage and chai. And
well, Catherine, you said you like chai. What do you think about the beer?
I do not like this. The Robitussin was right on. That's what it tastes like to me.
Like, I love Robitussin,
like date Robitussin.
It tastes like hazelnut and chai. Like I taste it, and I'm like.
So you like it.
I don't love it. I'm not like, this is a great beer. I would drink it in small quantities. There's no way I'm drinking that 22-ounce bottle of it. Not happening.
Luckily, we split it amongst 7 of us, so.
Yeah.
I think it's just maybe a little too concentrated, where it's, like, maybe if this was a little watered down, you could get through it a little bit better, but it's very thick and potent.
It is potent.
Yeah, I agree.
Potent, potable.
It's in your face.
Yeah, like
maybe it is the 10%. Maybe it's the alcohol. Maybe it's a little boozy.
A little bit, but that's not the problem with it, in my opinion. I taste it, but that's not my issue.
Sorry, Joel, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
What's your issue?
I don't know.
I just think that Andy's spot on with it's been boiled down to the point where you have whatever's left, and we're tasting very intense flavors, and it's almost like there's so many flavors in there that are intense that kind of not really appealing.
No. I think that this is a very like specific beer that not too many people are going to connect with.
Well, I can't imagine there's a big market for this beer. Like, no one's like, I need a double brown ale that has some chai flavor. I mean, they're trying something unique. They got something unique. It's probably not a hit, but I think it's something they could build off of, though.
It's not undrinkable.
I agree. I could drink this, but it's again, just, I'm not drinking the full bottle.
It's like, I don't know. You gotta take it in small gulps.
Is it strange?
It is strange.
Definitely strange.
So then mission accomplished.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. Mad Squirrel from Vernonia, Oregon. We're getting a lot of comments from Oregon.
And a lot of people that have to do with nuts. Buckeye and squirrel.
That's pretty good observation. I did not realize that.
That's Joel's specialty.
I'm a nut man.
His comment is on a beer from Sun River Brewing Company in Sun River, Oregon, just south of Bend. Had my first Vicious Mosquito IPA on tap at Coyote Bar and Grill in Hillsboro, Oregon. I must first say I love the name and had to try it. Very nice aroma, piney citrus with fair head, dark golden color, very pleasing malt aftertaste. I'll have another, please. I like the name too, although Vicious Mosquito.
I like that.
You want the name, you know, you want that in your beer, but you don't want to come up against a vicious mosquito.
Deadliest animal in the world.
I once dated a girl from Hillsboro, Oregon.
Yeah?
I wonder if she's related to Mad Squirrel.
What was his name?
I don't want to out her on the podcast.
And our old friend Tim Sotak from New Hampshire, he posts on the Beer of the Day Facebook page every day. And he shared a beer called the Agave IPA from Victory Brewing Company. And he enjoyed it. Agave tequila barrel aged, a little bit different, but says it's definitely worth a try. And we haven't had that one yet. I have not seen it here in California, but it's one we're going to have to seek out. We do have another beer from Victory. The last beer of the show today is going to be their V12. And so we'll have at least a new beer from Victory to try. But Tim, we thank you for posting your beer of the day each day on our Facebook page, and keep up the good work.
Andy, what's going on over there with this the beer here?
Some sort of a rinsing ritual.
I'm rinsing my glass because I'm feeling like this is going to color the next beer that I pour in here. We're rinsing.
The chai might overwhelm the flavor of the next beer, so it's probably a good idea to rinse.
Like we're wine tasting.
I know, huh?
So some people don't know this, but anyone can post a beer on Beer of the Day on the website and have that beer be featured as the Beer of the Day. So at the top of the website on the right-hand side, there's a link that says Add a Beer. You click that, you upload your photo of the beer, you write a description, and we will feature it as the Beer of the Day. And when that happens, it gets sent out to all of our users each day by email or text message straight to their phone. And we have 10,000 followers on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and it gets posted to them each day as well. So if you post a beer on the website, you will get noticed. And for the month of March, and this show comes out on March 1st, so this month, anyone who posts a beer on the Beer of the Day website will be entered into a drawing to win the very first Beer of the Day pint glass. And these are so rare that no one here even has one yet.
Can I get one first?
Gotta get one.
You're not going to get the first one. Whoever.
That's not cool.
I'm going to make my own.
Somebody who posts a Beer of the Day on the website in the month of March will get that coveted very first Beer of the Day pint
and
glass.
I'll even sign it for you.
we'll all sign it. So excited about that.
No, just me.
I'll actually cross Andy's signature off and then sign beneath.
So post some beers up there. Everyone here has done it. Britton and Joel are always posting beers of the day. It's my life posting beers of the day. And it's actually quite fun. So you should give it a try and win yourself a pint glass.
I'm going to post one so I can be entered to win.
You're not allowed.
Friends, family, and blah, 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 a little bit of the show.
I hate those disclosures.
You can't have one.
The fine print.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the next beer. This is one I've been looking forward to trying for a while. This is from Boulevard Brewing Company, Kansas City, Missouri.
Best craft brewery around.
I do like me some Boulevard beers. That's a true story.
So this show comes out on March 1st. 3 days from now, I will be at Boulevard Brewing Company in Kansas City. So at the end of the show, I'll give you a rundown on where we're going to be when on our trip. But we will be getting it from the source soon.
Can you bring me back some?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, you need to load up your suitcase. You going Southwest?
Southwest.
You're Southwest good. If you want to.
Do you need Britain's sweatshirt?
Yeah, do you need my sweatshirt?
No, where?
I wrap it in my underwear.
Oh, that makes it
no
taste
one will
better.
Touch that. No one will touch that. This looks more drinkable than anything else that
you guys
has
are
been
for
poured
a treat right now
so far.
Guaranteed.
So this is going to be similar to that beer that you had the first beer of the night, Dane,
mm-hmm.
which was the Hennepin from Oma Gang. That was last week's show, Oma Gang. And that was their farmhouse Saison. This is Saison Brett. This is basically made with Brettanomyces yeast, which is a little funky, a little sour. So this is going to be a little bit different than anything you've ever tasted beer-wise, but it will be it won't be as bitter as any of the hoppy ones we had on the first half of the show.
There's definitely a little funk in the smell, and I love it. And it reminds me a little bit of Love Child Number 5.
I smell some graham cracker, and I'm like really excited to taste it because I've.
How high are you?
Like you know what? Not graham cracker. Cinnamon Teddy Grahams. I'm gonna get super specific on
cinnamon
this.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Maybe.
Yeah.
Teddy where do you Graham. Get like the? Where do you really? Get like that gingery cinnamony thing? I don't get it.
Oh, big time. Maybe I saw some chai in my glass. Maybe that's it.
That might be what it is because I'm not getting it at all. I smell it's like a lemony funk that I smell and I like it. And it poured like pretty straw colored, opaque.
Use your words, Joel.
That's freaking fantastic.
It's just good.
That's a great. That is a great beer.
Andy always makes fun of me because I say just for everything. If you ever read a description on the website and it has just in it, I probably wrote it.
She probably authored that description.
When I smelled it, I was expecting some sort of like light bodied, like champagne mouth feel to it, but I'm getting good, like creamy sweetness. Just the mouth feel of this beer is really well balanced.
Little citrus, little lemon I get.
It's
not that sour in the aftertaste.
And it's surprisingly low on the funk. Like
yeah, it is low
it's
on the
not
funk.
Funky. Like you get the Brett, usually you get a little bit more of the like the wet dog and the horse blanket going on.
I'm gonna need to sample a little more.
It is good.
The first glass I chugged wasn't quite enough.
Why don't you just drink the whole thing?
I might do that.
I'll fight you for it.
What do you guys think? Catherine and Dane, what are you guys thinking here?
I like it. This is my favorite so far. Definitely goes down a lot easier than everything else. And it tastes a lot better than it smells.
So back to my like qualifying question here.
Mm-hmm.
Would you drink this beer?
Yes, I would.
You would pay money for this and drink it?
Yes.
How much would you pay?
That's a good question. Like honestly, what would you pay to drink this beer if you had it up against something that you would normally drink?
I would pay the same thing for this that I would pay for something else.
Problem is, you want it.
Why would you say that?
It's going to be more expensive.
Oh, okay.
But I think that question isn't as important. It's dependent.
You're right.
It's dependent on a lot of factors.
I was just trying to hope that Boulevard would knock the price down a little bit so I could drink it more often.
Yes,
because I love it.
So we've the Smokestack series. I'm not sure how many years they've been out, but we've had this the last couple of years. And I've been really impressed with all of the beers that they've brought out from the Smokestack series. We actually got really fortunate that we could buy a bunch of this at a pretty good price at Costco. And I found that these beers they have, they hold pretty well over time as well.
They do. And every single one, I don't think I've run into one that I didn't like. And they're all very different too.
They're all very good.
Yes.
Like they're not even good.
They're very good.
So not great, just very good.
Some are great.
Dallas, when you go, if you see the chocolate ale, because I have never seen it since the one time I got it, I've been chasing that beer for a while. I'll let me know.
Let her know.
I'll let her know.
I'll let me know.
So
if I see it, I will get it.
What really surprises me on this Saison Brett is it's 8.5% ABV.
It does not taste like it would be that high.
No.
Well, like the Tank 7 is 7.5, and that was one that just was like, it went down so smooth. This is the same line of thought.
Yeah.
Very similar, but that one had a lot more of the funk and was a little bit, I don't want to call it undrinkable, but it was less drinkable.
Yeah.
You had to actually like kind of chew it a little bit. This
is so minimal funk.
So easy to drink.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is real smooth, but I mean, is this sweet to everyone else? Or like some...
There's a sweetness, but I would call it sweet.
A little sour too, though.
Yeah, it's a little tart. Like I think I would describe it more as tart than sour, but if I had any complaint about this beer, it's almost that I feel like the aroma is a tease and I was looking forward to funk and then didn't get any funk. But I still really like the beer.
It's light on the funk, but
yeah.
The Brett beers can get so funky that it ends up being like
overpowering
and it puts you off.
How long has this been in the garage, Dal? What do you say?
3 months.
Do you think that aging lends anything to this at all?
I think this probably ages. It probably stays the same for a long period of time. I don't think it really changes too much.
Do you think it would change the funk level at all? No.
It's the dry hopping and the fresh hops, like doing a lot of hops. Those beers are affected the most by aging.
Yes, and the super dark imperial stouts, those things will smooth out a little.
I was going to say, like, the boozy ones will mellow a little bit, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that was a pretty good description of that one. Next is Brooklyn Local One, kind of like a union. This is from Brooklyn Brewery in Brooklyn, New York. 9%. This is a Belgian-inspired strong golden ale. And this is one that has got a lot of publicity, highly rated. I've been looking forward to trying this one.
Yeah, we got this. I think we can get this here as well. It's not as easy to get here, but we actually grabbed this in Cincinnati because it was available to easily pick up.
I have a friend and a coworker who lives in Yonkers, and he says that everyone back east loves Brooklyn Brewery.
As far as New York goes, I think it's the biggest one there.
First thing I noticed is that this is a much lighter color.
It's super pale.
Very, very pale.
Would you say it's golden?
I wouldn't really. Maybe, yeah.
I would say light straw.
Yeah.
And this is the first beer that we've all poured, and that everybody got a ton of head on it.
Yeah.
Yep, it's very white.
I think the Saison Brett had
a lot of... Snow white head, fluffy. It's hazy beer. Like Britton said, kind of a straw-colored beer. You can't really see you can't see through it. I get a lot of that Belgian yeast aroma, maybe a little banana.
Light banana, but yeah, definitely.
Almost like a parfait kind of, like if you had like a fruit
with a parfait. With banana on top?
Yeah, because it has kind of like a yogurt-y, yogurt-y smell.
I think so too.
And I want a parfait.
So some golden ales, they kind of... They lean towards like that lagery flavor that I dislike.
Yep.
And some are, the definition or the word golden ale really rings true with what the beer is, where you think, okay, well, I think of pale ale, then I'm going to just take a few steps back to golden ale. That's what this is. It's a very good representation of the term golden ale, in my opinion.
And it's not lagery.
Not at all.
You tell it's... has more body than that.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and I almost described the aroma as a little bit lagery. Like it smelled a little bit lagery to me, but the taste is not like that at all.
The taste is really Belgian, like it's classic.
It's really good.
Like you drink this beer and you think it's probably from Belgium. It's really smooth and drinkable.
I'll tell you the biggest problem with this beer. 9%.
9%. Where is it hiding? Is it?
You could die.
You could drink this beer.
I don't see that as a problem.
I mean, this is more drinkable than a Coors Light.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And more than twice the alcohol.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Wow. I would have, if you gave me this beer, I would have guessed 5%. Maybe 6 if I was like just shooting high.
And I thought the last beer was that. The Saison Brett was very drinkable for 8.5%. And now this is... so good, so smooth and drinkable for 9%.
Yeah, so, even more smoother, I think, than the last one.
I think I taste the alcohol in here a little bit. I get like a little, going back to that, the chai one, kind of a little bit medicinal.
Do you taste 9% though?
No, I don't drink this and go like, well, I mean, usually if I drink a 9% beer, I'm having like a stout or I'm having something that's very heavy. So then I just think it's a different mouthfeel. Then I drink this and I would never think this was a 9% beer.
I think this is surprising to me in the alcohol content because normally beers this high to me are either just plain boozy or too sweet or too something that overpowers, like they're using it to mask the alcohol content. And on this, I'm not getting any of that. It's just like so drinkable.
It's not overly sweet.
It's not overly sweet. It's not overly sweet,
but it's a little bit dry. And
Yeah. But it's got some sort of like creme brulee, like flan, like little bit of it. And it's almost like it's so well balanced that it's not intense. And it's almost like you are constantly wanting more of it, but in a good way, not in a way that you're like, ah, dang, it's just not that flavorful. It has a really good complexity of balance.
You want to keep tasting it.
Light cream.
Oh, yeah.
Like flan taste to it.
I think flan is a great description.
Yeah.
And then to speak to that, you know, balanced and the complexity and how well balanced it is. Dal, do you think that you mentioned it's like a classic Belgian.
Yes.
I mean, when we have the Roqueforts and those really great Belgian beers, they are high alcohol, extremely easy to drink, very well balanced. And this beer, I mean, it compares to those, definitely.
Definitely.
For sure.
That's good.
It's like, hey, I'm going to make a Belgian style beer that's going to be on, you know, 90% of the tap handles and you could just pour this all day, but it's 9%. Like, how do you, can't do that.
Oh, you can. Cheers to that.
All right. Well, let's get into the last beer of the day. This is from Victory Brewing Company, Downingtown, Pennsylvania. This is the V12. Why is it V12?
It'll knock your socks off.
Because it's 12%.
Aye, de mi.
This is the dead air that'll just get cut out. And then all of a sudden, oh, we all have the beers and we drink it.
Woo, beer.
All right, everybody start now.
We can make like Chewbacca noises and stuff. And then, like,
it's pretty good.
That was if Chewbacca, and BB-8 had a kid. That's what comes out.
That might have to stay in.
So it's funny. I always like try to judge a beer by its smell. And I do this stupid thing where I rank it where I think where it's going to be, if it's going to be the beer of the day or not. Like, is this number 6 of the 7 beers I've had? From a smell standpoint, before I've tasted it, this is my favorite beer for a smell.
So this is a Belgian-style quadruple ale. This is the king of the Belgian styles, which is the most alcoholic, the most bold, I'd say.
Yeah, so like with Belgians, you know, with IPAs and stouts and stuff, you're using malt and you're extracting sugars from the malt to get the alcohol. With Belgian, they use, they call it Belgian candy sugar, and they add it to the brew, and that's what they use to get the alcohol, you know, fermenting those sugars. So you get a very different texture to the beer. It's not grainy at all. It's very hard to balance that sugar against, you know, any kind of hops or the yeast that they use without making it sweet. But if you can master it like a lot of the Belgian brewers do, you can get some pretty good beers.
Yeah, and the Belgian brewers in Belgium have been doing it for hundreds and hundreds of years, and they've had a lot of practice at it, and so they're good. So that's why it's rare when you get an American brewery that does as good a job as Brooklyn did on that one.
Yeah, and I think Andy, you know, I think he said, you know, we've talked about this before where you taste sometimes with your eyes or even with your ears. And, you know, he's talked about that candy.
Well, or your nose?
Well, I mean, he just talked about how sweet it is. And then when I tasted this, I got a lot of sugar and almost in a way I don't like.
Yeah, I just took a sip and I agree with that. And, you know, we had like, especially those Trappist ales where they just nail it. And this is kind of like they really tried hard. And I don't want to say they failed, but they're just not quite there.
Joel said that this is his favorite smelling beer so far. And as soon as I smelled it, I was like, this beer is going to be so sweet.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it right away. And as soon as I tasted it, I almost undrinkable to me. Just how upfront the sugar was. Like, I was like, whoa. This.
But I want to add that a lot of people who drink wine enjoy port. So this, to me, would be like the port of beer. I don't think it's bad. It's just that you have to be in the mood for something very sweet. If you're going to share this for like dessert, I think you would really enjoy this beer.
This is almost 25 ounces. When are you ever going to want to drink that much of this beer?
Well, after dinner, like dessert with like some friends, I mean, it's actually a very sweet dessert beer.
When you have seven people around the table for doing a podcast.
Do we have any chocolate we can taste with this?
You know, I honestly think that would be good though. I mean, what Joel's saying.
With chocolate.
Yeah, have it as a dessert beer. Yeah.
I had this with some cheesecake.
And going back to what I said about the Brooklyn local one, I think that we could all tell that this is a much higher alcohol content than any of the other beers because it's overly sweet to compensate for the alcohol content.
And I don't think this is a horrible beer. I'll say that up front because I don't want to feel like I'm trashing it. But it does also taste boozy at the same time.
Yeah,
I can taste the alcohol and the sweetness. And it's just not a great combination to
anytime you get to 12%, you're going to taste some alcohol. And then they're going to have to bump up the sweetness to try and mask that.
I don't dislike it. I wouldn't say that it's like my favorite beer ever, but
it's not. Is it drinkable to you?
Like, absolutely.
Would you
not in a huge quantity?
Would you have a glass of this?
No, I wouldn't.
That's not a huge quantity. I mean, it's not drinkable in the sense that you couldn't split this bottle with another person.
Correct. Yeah, no, you're right.
It's a bit overwhelming, I feel like.
But if you're a snooty person and you're having a dinner party and you want to pair something really well with your cheesecake or you know, your strawberry cheesecake. Shortcake, this would go really well with it.
How about a parfait?
Oreo McFlurry.
You're on that parfait thing, huh?
Yo McFlurry. Is that on the 2-for-5 menu?
Catherine, what do you think of this one?
It tastes like honey to me. Like it tastes like really like intense honey. I'm not a fan of it.
It's thick. I get that. And the sweetness. Yeah, it is. Doesn't have that characteristic.
I agree. I feel like I'm drinking. If you ever watch, I've never done it, but when they make caramel and they're like pouring the sugar from it's hot, right? It's liquidy. It feels like I'm drinking that a little bit.
The pure thick. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that on the previous beer, we talk about like hollowed ground where they are trying to do a style where people are in this world are very good at doing it. And same thing with the Belgian quad. You have to have that perfect balance of the sweetness and the alcohol and the booze and the malt profile and how the yeast interacts with all of that. And I think this one is a nice attempt, but maybe doesn't stack up against the greats in this particular field.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's recap the beers we've had tonight, and we're going to work towards figuring out what our favorite beer of the day is. Andy?
Okay, so we started off with the Limbo IPA from Long Trail Brewing Company. Then we had the Dogfish Head 75-Minute IPA, and we had the Perpetual IPA from Trogues Brewing Company. We came back with our Strange Brew with the Chicao Chai, the Hazelnut Double Brown Ale from Triple Digit Brewing Company. Then we had the Saison Brett from Boulevard, the Brooklyn Local One from Brooklyn Brewery, and we finished it off with the V12 from Victory Brewing Company.
All right, let's spin the pen and figure out who's going to go first tonight. The pen? The wheel.
Yeah.
The wheel of
destiny.
There's
no pen.
There's no pen.
Wait for it. Let's see.
Oh.
It's Britain.
Oh. Woo. So for me, tonight is really down to two different beers. It's between the Brooklyn Local One and the Boulevard Saison Brett. And I feel like I pick Boulevard beers a lot. I love Boulevard beers, but I'm going to go with the Brooklyn Local One. I felt like it was well-balanced, super drinkable, surprising, and that's the beer that I'm going with for my beer of the day.
All right. Catherine, what was your favorite beer of the night?
I am going to be very unoriginal and go with the same as well. The Saison was my most drinkable. The smell was okay with me. The flavor was good. Alcohol content didn't bother me. That was my favorite.
All right.
Yeah.
Dane.
Again, I have to go with the same. It could just left? Be because I'm an amateur. And
are you going Saison Brett or are you going Brooklyn Warm?
No, they're on Saison Brett.
Saison Brett. Okay. Just because I like stuff that, you know, goes down easy and also tastes good. And of everything that we've tried tonight, that was by far the easiest to drink and also tasted very good.
Awesome. Steve.
Echo. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm probably a little biased because I love Boulevard. I was already probably a little predetermined what I was going to pick, but I was not at all disappointed with this beer. First time I tried it, love it. I'd definitely buy this again. And yep, keep doing your thing, Boulevard. Great job.
We'll make this quick. Saison. It was between Saison and that Brooklyn, the Brooklyn local one. I'm going Saison.
All right. I am going to go with the Brooklyn one. So before I settle on that, let me say the IPAs we had were three very different IPAs, and I have to say that my favorite IPA that I had tonight was the Limbo IPA, Long Trail Brewing Company. That had that melon type of tropical flavor that I really enjoy, and I think I definitely want to try that one again. So, but of all the beers I had tonight, the Brooklyn Local one, that was really such a traditional Belgian style ale and so well balanced at 9%. I would have, you give me that beer and I would think it was brewed by monks in Belgium. And that's the highest compliment you can pay to an American brewery trying that particular style. So
it's possible they migrated.
Brooklyn Local one.
No, it's not.
No.
So I don't think I've ever seen this before, but you know, we always have leftover beer after a show and we all just kind of drink it afterwards and you try some of this or that, the other thing. But just during this beer of the day recap from the seven of us, there was five people fighting over the remainder of the Saison Brett. That's never happened before. So, and I was the first one to pour out my V12 right. and get me some of that.
We also had to pour out our V12 to yes. wash that down with something that was a little more palatable.
No, I think that tells you what that beer is, and it's an amazing beer. It really is. Boulevard has nailed so many different styles recently, for, you know, just that I've tried recently, and I'm real excited about whatever they do. So Saison Brett, hands down.
All right. Boulevard getting some love tonight.
Every night.
So, like I mentioned earlier, this show comes out on March 1st. Tomorrow, I will be flying to St. Louis, Missouri, and the next day visiting breweries there. That is March 3rd and 4th. So on Twitter, we'll be announcing where we're going to be. Anyone wants to come out, say hi, drink some beer, come on out. And then we'll be in Kansas City on the Friday the 4th through Sunday the 6th. And we will be going to Boulevard and we'll be seeing what they have there and checking out their whole scene. So that will be good. All right, well, that's going to close out our fridge cleanout show. But we thank you for tuning in tonight and remind you to check out our website, beeroftheday.com. Next week, Andy and I will be out at Sacramento Beer Week and visiting different breweries and checking out the local scene here where we live. So tune in for that. Until then, for Andy Hamilton, Britton Miner, Catherine Gardella, Dane Carinko, Steve Williamson, Joel Miner, I'm Dallas Hellicker. We'll see you next time on the Beer of the Day podcast.